Good morning and Merry Christmas Eve. This morning, the title of my message is The Misfits of Christmas. And if you look at our title slide, you might think it's a little blasphemous or maybe even sacrilegious to associate the word misfit with the likes of Joseph or Mary or the shepherds or even the wise men. Although, I think the guy with a hat that looks like a giant acorn, he really is a misfit. But you know, in general, I think we go around and we act like the word misfit is a bad thing. You know, we don't think that's something nice to say about another person, to call them a misfit. But what if God sees things differently? What if God has a special love for misfits? What if God saves some of his most precious blessings for the people the world would call misfits? Last week, Sister Janine stood up and she mentioned of how our little church might be a church of misfits. She even mentioned that Pastor Brian, who's coming here a week, he might be kind of a misfit pastor. She might have even mentioned renaming our house of worship Misfit Alliance Church. And some of you were probably thinking, she's crazy. Amen. Maybe some of you thought, you know, maybe Dave or Dennis or Joe or Lonnie or Rick or Jeannie, maybe they're misfits, but I'm actually kind of normal. And it occurred to me that maybe we don't really know what the word misfit means. So if we don't know the meaning of a word, is Carter asleep? Oh man, I was saving this question for him. Who's the next youngest person? Rick. If we don't know the meaning of a word, I'm not talking chronological years, I'm talking maturity range. Rick, if you didn't know the meaning of a word, where would you look for that meaning? Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, the funny thing is, I threw out all my books except my Bible, so anytime I need to look up a word, I have to go to the internet and go to dictionary.com. And there I found three meanings for the word misfit. And the first of them was a verb, meaning to fit badly. The second two and three were nouns. Number two, something that fits badly as a garment that is too large or too small. Or three, a person who is not suited or is unable to adjust to the circumstances of his or her particular situation, such as being a misfit in one's job. Now, I don't know about you, but I think numbers one and two violate the rules of definitions. You are not allowed to use part of the word you are defining in the course of defining it. So the fact that the definitions one and two have the word fit in it don't count at all in my mind. But the third definition is one I could actually sink my teeth into. A person who is not suited or is unable to adjust to the circumstances of his or her situation. So that's the one I'm going to go with today as we look at the various misfits of Christmas. And as we do that, I want you to think about your own circumstances. Are you the kind of person who really, on the surface, doesn't seem well suited to the circumstances you're in? So now I'd like to go and look at some of the misfits of Christmas. Where would I go if I wanted to learn the true story of Christmas? Rick, where am I going to find the facts about Christmas? Well, the Bible. I mean, you're close. I mean, it's the right answer. It never hurts to, like, be more smart than everybody else and actually list the passage. But, you know, the funny thing is, I'm going to start in the book of Matthew because I'm a misfit. And one of the first misfits I want to look at today is the misfit Joseph. Now, this was the man destined to become the husband of Mary, and we'll learn about him in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. So let's think about that definition I chose for misfit today: someone not well suited to their circumstances. We see in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 11, it says that Joseph was faithful to the law. Joseph was a good Jew. And being a good Jew, you know what he was allowed to do if his fiancée was found to be unfaithful? He could have publicly disgraced her. He could have had her thrown out of the synagogue. He could have had her stoned. We also know that the culture in the time of Israel, at the time that Jesus walked the earth, was very harsh on women. They weren't considered to have the same rights and status of men in that culture. And in particular, Joseph should have been very concerned about his reputation, very concerned about his authority, very concerned about being respected. And yet, he was not well suited to that role. He actually wanted to show care and concern and respect for the woman he loved, Mary. That was a very misfit thing for Joseph to do, to decide to quietly divorce her. God rewarded that misfittedness by sending an angel to talk to Joseph in a dream. And this is one of those things I wonder, how often God still does that today. I think he does it in particular for misfits. He sends them messages in a dream. I think of myself, how I often dream about standing up here preaching in my underwear on the Saturday night before my service. And I'm thinking, God's trying to tell me something. Wear pants. So I stand up here today with pants, but, you know, I continue to think maybe dreams are a special way of God getting the attention of his favorite misfits. You know, there's something else that's misfitted in Joseph's response to what the angel told him. Joseph obeyed. Even though what the angel was telling him in a dream was a crazy thing to do, it wouldn't help get rid of his embarrassment or humiliation, he did what many of the Jews around him in the first century didn't do. He obeyed what God told him. Now, if you think me calling Joseph a misfit was blasphemous, my next person is probably going to get you even more riled up. I'm going to suggest to you that maybe Mary was also a misfit. And again, keep in mind what I'm defining as misfit: someone who's not well suited to their situation. For Mary, I'd like to pick a reading out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And this is sometimes called Mary's Song or the Magnificat. And it reads as this: "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.'" So how do you think Mary is not well suited to our situation? Well, for starters, she's going to give birth to a baby and she's a virgin. That's pretty much as misfit as you can get. But there's also some other things we see here. You know, she was told by the angel Gabriel that she was going to give birth to a son who would sit on the throne of David, that would be a ruler over Israel forever, and then he would be called the Son of God. And yet when Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, she doesn't burst through the door and shout out, "I'm going to be God's mom." She actually goes and describes herself as humble and being a servant to God and lowly in her position. A lot of people who were being told that they were going to give birth to the Son of God might have let that go to her head, but she never gave up with being humble and obedient to what God asked her. You know, it's kind of interesting. Every time I hear the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And if you listen to any radio station over the last month, you hear that song about every hour. I think of some of these verses that we looked at this morning in reference to that song. The angels weren't really clear with Mary and Joseph. They didn't come right out and say, "You're going to give birth to someone who's both completely God and completely man." They just gave little pieces of the puzzle. You will give birth to a son who will sit on the throne of David. He will be the king of the Jews. He will forgive people of their sins. But you kind of get the impression that Mary really didn't grasp the whole picture. There are various times throughout Scripture where the Holy Spirit led someone to speak to Mary. And we see some examples later on where the shepherds come and tell about the message that the angels gave them. On Jesus' eighth day after his birth, they went and presented him in the temple, and a man named Simeon came up and said, "I have seen the Lord's salvation. You may call me home now, Lord." And then much later, 12 years later, when Mary and Joseph and Jesus went to the temple for the Passover, Jesus had stayed behind after they left. And when Mary and Joseph came back, Jesus said, "How come you didn't know I'd be in my Father's house?" In each one of those circumstances, it said that Mary pondered what she had just heard, and she stored that information up in her heart. It was as if she was gathering together all these pieces of the puzzle to help her truly understand who her son was. I think we even see her still somewhat of a misfit, even at Jesus' crucifixion. As Jesus hung on the cross, he looked down and saw that his mother was going to be alone. And he gave her to the care of his apostle John and the care of apostle John to his mother. So now, as I talked about Mary being a misfit, I touched on my next group of misfits. And I would have to say that these are my favorite misfits of the Christmas story. And that would be the shepherds. We read about them in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18. "And there were shepherds out living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Of all the misfits of Christmas, the shepherds are probably the most misfittest of all. Who would have been less competent to be the recipients, the first recipients of the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ than a bunch of dirty, smelly shepherds? I had done some research on the internet a few years ago, And I'd found lots of comments on how shepherds were the lowest of lowlifes in Jewish society, even lower than tax collectors. Rabbis at the time of Jesus' birth taught that shepherds were dishonest and thieving. And because they spent so many months out away from the people, that you should never buy wool or milk or lambs from them because you just assume that they've stolen it from the people that they care for the flocks for. The rabbis also told the story that shepherds often led their flocks onto land that they weren't allowed to, stealing the vegetation from the rightful owners. A Jewish commentary on Psalm 23 at the time of Jesus' birth even said that shepherds are the most disreputable occupation that exists, and that you should not help heathens or shepherds in any circumstances. It doesn't sound like these people were well thought of by society. And yet, as I said back in the beginning of my message, it's not just a matter of it being okay to be a misfit and still receive certain blessings. I actually think it's a requirement to be a misfit to receive certain blessings. Maybe God knew that only a bunch of lonely, cast-off shepherds living out in the fields would be paying attention for and watching for the arrival of a Savior. Maybe the rest of Israel and the rest of the world, that for that matter, could wait another 30 years before the Messiah would be revealed. I wonder if a large portion of Israel and the rest of the world even thought they needed a Savior to come. Maybe these shepherds were just one more day from giving up, of losing all hope that their lives would ever get better than living out alone in the fields. But for these small group of misfit shepherds, things weren't just going to get better. They were going to get great. They were going to be the first witnesses of the birth of a Savior. And they were going to have a joy and a peace that no one would ever be able to take from them for the rest of their lives. After they saw Jesus, I don't think it bothered them that they were misfits anymore. And if anything, they did something that was even more misfitted than anything they'd done up to that point. They became spokespersons and evangelists for God. We read in verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. I doubt the shepherds were gifted with good speech or eloquent talk. And yet they told everyone they knew about the visit of the angels and the baby they had seen in the manger. So I think they did the best they could. They went and they told everyone they knew. And while I think most people thought that the shepherds were crazy, maybe spent too much time sleeping on the grass and living out in the cold, I'd like to think there were some people who believed. Maybe the story spread all throughout the countryside from one misfit shepherd to another. These weren't people that probably ever set foot inside the temple, ever sat under a rabbi, ever witnessed a lamb get sacrificed on the Passover. And yet the truth about the birth of Jesus Christ was brought to them in a special way that maybe regular people living in the city wouldn't have heard. And even if most people thought that these shepherds were all crazy, they weren't going to let that steal their joy. And as I thought about these shepherds preparing this message, I thought, that's what I'd like to be, a crazy shepherd who wanders around telling people about Jesus Christ. Now that we've gone through these first three types of misfits, maybe you're thinking, I'm not like any of those misfits. I'm not a respectful, loving misfit like Joseph. I'm not a humble and obedient misfit like Mary. And I'm certainly not a dirty-smelling, evangelizing misfit like those shepherds. Maybe you're thinking, I'm much better than that. I'm well-dressed, very learned, very smart, and quite frankly, I think I have a lot to offer Jesus. If you're thinking that way, then do I have a misfit for you? Maybe you are a Magi misfit. Let's read about the Magi in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So why would I call these well-dressed, highly educated, wealthy foreigners misfits? I call them misfits because they're not well suited to their situation. Maybe you're wondering how they're not well suited. You're thinking, in some ways, they seem better suited than Mary, Joseph, or the shepherds. You'd kind of prefer that they were the kind of misfits that showed up on Sundays and worshiped with us in our church. But you want to know the number one reason why the Magi were misfits? They weren't Jews. When the angels had spoke to Mary and Joseph, they made it clear that Jesus was coming as a savior to the Jews. The Magi were some complex mix of being kings and priests and magicians and fortune tellers, and by all accounts, they were from the region of Persia. Jesus was not sent for them, and yet they searched out for Jesus. So even though I joked about us being the kind of people that would identify with the Magi misfits, I think just about everybody gathered here has a much closer link to the Magi misfits than to the Mary, Joseph, or shepherd misfits. When Simeon first saw Jesus in the temple on his eighth day dedication, he said, your son will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And that is what he was. And thank God that the Magi searched him out and found him and kind of made a pathway for us to find him also. So we talked about many different types of misfits this morning. The reality is, I think each of us has a little bit of each kind of misfit in them. We have a little bit of Joseph, a little bit of Mary, a lot of shepherd in me, I think, and maybe just a little bit of the Magi, a little bit of being a wise man, wise enough to know the Savior when I saw him. I don't take the slightest offense that somebody would call me a misfit, and that I hope that Pastor Brian and all of you wouldn't take any offense at being called a misfit either. There were plenty of misfits when Jesus Christ appeared on that first Christmas. And if this church is any indication, there's going to be plenty of misfits when Jesus Christ returns. I pray that day is soon.